to the A, L to the K, A to the M, A, N, I, A. Y'all want no static with the killers from Full Press. Talk square circle, y'all should know who the two best. Put people on, showing love to the whole scene. Never miss a show, get my fix like a dope fiend. You know with trivia, they got the shit on lock. Title belt to the winner just to sweeten the pot. If you hear about Oscar, you know that it's Dez. Turn drink like the blues away, you'll end up dead. Pokemania, I came through with slow roll quad fives. Y'all want beef, Dez in jail, the wrong guys. Without this podcast, there would be no me. So I gotta say thank you to the real OGs. This is Mr. K, y'all signing off at the flow. Time to turn the mic up and deliver a show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talkomania. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episodic adventure. I am your co-host, Dez, here with the Boozer Wade himself, Jason Baum. Say hello to our Talkomaniacs.
What's up, penis?
What is up? Hey, did you get a new headset?
No.
But the one you always wear?
That's the one I always wear, and I can hear you on both sides.
So. Oh, wow. Yeah, remember when you did like a year worth of podcast? You're like, I have a really hard time hearing you. I'm like, does your headset work? You're like, well, half of it.
Yeah, I rolled over the wires so many times, and it's not the first time that happened with me with a pair of earphones. Just over time, you roll over it with your wheels. During the day, and you're like, fuck, God, jeez, fuck, and then after a while, like, one side just breaks. So I'm sure it's going to happen with this one too, but, you know, it's been good for now.
So we missed last week, but we're back. We're back at it in the fallout of the rumble that was Royal.
Yeah, lots happened. Like, we did a watch along.
That was actually really fun.
You were there in spirit. You weren't talking too much.
What do you mean I wasn't talking too much? I talked more than anybody else.
What are you talking about? It was me and kayfabe the whole time.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to pull the receipt. I'm going to pull it up right now.
Yeah, okay, sure.
All right, let's see.
And then you disappeared for like the last, like the main event. I don't even think you were there for.
No, what was the main event anyways? Oh, the Men's Royal Rumble, wasn't it? Wrestling Watch Along. Let's see here.
I gave you the benefit of the doubt. Hey. Canceled on me the day of the Royal Rumble.
Oh, shit. Hold on. I just joined something. One sec.
You broke my heart.
I broke your heart. Broke your heart, eh? Oh, I can't find it. But I swear to God, we were chatting the whole time. It was a lot of fun, actually. We should always do that.
It was fun.
Mm. Yeah. So Royal Rumble came and went.
Yeah, and I think I want to talk a little bit about that. We also have the Elimination Chamber on the horizon, which is the last go-home event before WrestleMania. It's in Saudi, so it's very kind of... weird to have the go home pay-per-view, we can't call that anymore. I don't even know what they're called, live events or something like that. Prestige Extreme live events, what are they called? Prestige live events or
the biggest Royal Rumbles of all time, the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
Pay-per-view to something live event, or I don't know, they changed the name, no more pay-per-view. It's done.
Oh, they're not calling it pay-per-views at all?
They're not. Yeah, they have a different terminology for it in the WWE now.
Jesus.
It's called
Christ.
Like something live event or something, I don't know. They changed the name, and we also have WrestleMania that's starting to shape out. We also have some stuff going on inside of AW as well, which has been rocking the wrestling internet community one way or the other, and it's been pretty exciting. But I gotta ask you something before we get going.
Yeah,
this is something that I've been able to avoid since its fruition, or since its inception. I gotta ask you, what the fuck is Wordle?
Oh,
I have no idea still what this is.
Okay, well, like, have you tried Googling it?
No, because I'm one of those guys that's like, everybody's doing it, so I'm like, fuck it, I don't want to do it. I'm sure I'll do it next year and I'll be like, Jay, Wordle's so cool, and you'd be like, dude, it's all about Squirtle now, not Wordle.
I mean, I do it if I remember to do it, just because it's like a really actual good way to break up the workday. Because it takes about, like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes to do, but you're so focused on it that you don't think of other shit. But basically, it's a, hold on, let me see how many letters.
I'm guessing it's a word game?
Yeah, it's super simple. So you have, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's a 5-letter word, and you have-
Always
one,
a 5-letter word?
Always. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you have 6 chances to guess it. And if you guess one of the letters that's correct, it'll be yellow. If you guess one of the letters that are correct in the right spot, it's green. So they, it used to be a game show on TV, man. Like
Wheel of Fortune?
No. Like when we were kids, it was on.
Hangman?
Nah, dude. It was called I don't know. But it's actually really fun and challenging. You would really like it, I bet.
I think I would too. I like word games, and I see a lot of people playing it. It's hard to find the time to do that, but I just see those like little like colors.
Yeah, those like graph charts, right?
What does the graph charts mean?
It just shows you like what line, like it took you four tries, or five tries, or six tries. So again, what's cool about it is that it takes your mind off of it, and somehow it's restored my faith in humanity because I've never ever seen anybody spoil it. It's like everybody just has this unspoken about respect.
And it's the same word for everybody every day?
Every day.
Oh.
Yeah. So like I saw people doing it and I was like, what is this stupidity? And I went on and the word for the day was horrible. It was K-N-O-L-L.
Noel.
Right. All right. How many times have you used that word in your life?
Maybe even reading a book.
Okay, but you didn't use it. You read it, right? So, and what does it even mean?
A knoll. a hole.
With knees in it?
Oh, no. A knoll. Reminds me of something like either a knot or like a tree stump hole.
I'm going to look what it is.
A little nook or cranny.
What is
a nook or cranny? A knoll.
A knoll is a small hill or mound, so pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, all right, yeah, okay.
So that was the first word, so that was like...
When I was reading Lord of the Rings.
Oh, and my buddy Pete from the UK was playing it, and I was like, what is this shit? Because I kept seeing the graphs everywhere. So I tried it, and then that was a word, and I was like, this is horrible. He's like, no, do it again for the next day. And I kind of got hooked, and I did it for about 2 weeks straight. But the best thing to know is that it's a UK game. Once you know it's a UK game, you kind of get like this huge hint that it's going to be like words they use in the UK. So it's not that obvious. And sometimes you're like, oh, they say things like this or they use different words for that. But it's actually really good. And like, there's just like this certain level of compete where when you get it in three tries and your buddy got it in six, you're like, idiot. So you just post your results on their Facebook wall.
Couldn't you have like some smart asses like find out the answer and then go and like answer it in a way that makes it look like, oh, I got it, but then not make it flawless. So it looks like they did it legit.
Well, like basically you want to become a three word player. So you want to get it on the third try. So
it's like golf.
Yeah. Like if you're getting it constantly on fourth and fifth, it's like not that great. If you get it first try, you're a fucking genius. Second try, you're really lucky. Third, there's some strategy. So I always try and use certain words. Like, I always think R-S-T-L-N-E, right? Mm-hmm. From Wheel of Fortune. But then there's only so many vowels. And when there's only one vowel in the word, man, it's so fucking hard to understand. Because then you can only have, like, a K with an N or a G with an H or a W with an R or an S with an H or a C with an H. Or else it doesn't work. Or a C with an R or a D with an R. So, like, it eliminates letters for you. So it's quite fun.
Is this an app or is this like something you, it's an app?
It's Wordle. Literally a white background website that says Wordle with a bunch of cubes and a little keyboard at the bottom. That's it.
So like people could fake their, like they could do it and do it again.
No, you can only like... do it once per IP per day. Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing. Who's going to fake this to look cool?
I know a couple people on my timeline.
Oh, Jesus. You got to be a real fucking loser to try and cheat at Wordle for clout.
I mean, yeah, that's it. Honestly, like, really.
Wow. You guessed a word? Pretty impressive.
You know what is impressive? I'm going to segue here. Freedom. Quebec. We're finally allowed to live our lives again soon. Well, or so they're telling us. I don't know if they're going to flip-flop on it or not, but we'll see. Funny. Now they're like, we're going to have to live with you guys. We decided... You know, we decided now specifically we're gonna have to live with it.
Still passports though after the 14th.
Yeah, it was still passports, yeah. But I guess that's kind of why they're like, well, you know, we're gonna live with it, and the passports are gonna help us. But we see other like I guess provinces and you know dropping and abandoning it. I think Alberta now is abandoning mm-hmm. the passport, and I think there's a lot of pressure for Ontario because Ford is like buddy buddy with Alberta, and there's a lot of like pressure on him as well too. So they think they might follow suit. I don't know how long they intend to keep them a thing anyways. to me, I'm kind of thinking like, for the flip side, it's like, okay, well, we used it for only a short amount of time, but imagine how much time they invested into making this application and the system, and then they only use it for a short period.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, it's good news because we're going to have a summer. So I'm excited about
that. We've had a summer every time, though. We've never been locked down in the summer.
Yeah, more or less. But I mean, you know, now you can kind of go out to bars and terraces and, you know, maybe there'll be a jazz fest, you know, you know, like it's just kind of nice to go out and I don't know, like it never didn't really change much for me. And also now I'm thinking like, shit, I'm actually going to have to go back to work now soon. So
it was so funny how they like announced it. They were like, as of this date, you can have as many people as you want in your home, but we suggest 10.
Yeah.
Then they're like, and then on the 18th, you can go to the bar. On the 21st, you could go to the bar and sit with people from more than three families. And then the last one is, you can now dance and do karaoke.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what the fuck, man? Just open it up.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Karaoke, really? Is it any different than talking? Like,
I guess because you're spraying, you're like ta ta.
Well, apparently it was the microphone.
Tiny dancer, ta ta.
Trust me, a bunch of drunk people in a fucking bar are spitting while they talk. Anyways, you're on a stage away from people. Make it 6 feet apart. So
people get so shit faced though during karaoke like that. I don't. You're gone to karaoke night. People just get fucking shit faced. And in my industry, like people would go there quite a lot. So I think I was dragged there once or twice. Never sang, but I've sat at the table and. My experience is where people just getting completely shit faced and somebody even like tipped over a pitcher of beer and it fell over all over my lap. So yeah, that was my experience.
Karaoke is not my thing.
No, it's not. It's not. I remember going to karaoke a long time ago in Vaudreuil. Where was it? The place on Cité des Jeunes. What was that bar?
Really?
There was a bar, Cité des Jeunes. I don't remember the name of it.
Santorini's.
Santorini's. I don't think that's the name.
Yeah, it was like a bar and it had a pool table with a karaoke thing.
This doesn't sound like Santorini's. I would remember that name.
It was called.
Did it change the name ever?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, anyways, I remember going there with Laura and Christina Lamar and a few other people. And I remember we smoked a joint in the parking lot in the front. The guy who kind of came over, said, hey, you want to smoke a joint? Definitely laced it with something. I'd never been that fucked up. Like my dad picked me up and like I could barely walk. But I was so like into the music and stuff. And I don't know if you ever seen Christina Lamar sing. Holy shit.
Yeah, she's good.
Like, oh my God. Amazing. Like she should have done like an American Idol or something. She was so good. And I remember her doing Maria Maria, the Santana song, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. I remember just being hypnotized by her. That was a good experience. That was a good experience.
Yeah. I remember that bar. I didn't like it, but I don't like karaoke, so. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Yeah, so apart from that, I mean, I'm excited for all the openings coming up. We'll see what's going on. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. That's all I... Let's talk a little bit about the
Rumble here, all right? So, Royal Rumble, let's go just jump through a few things here. So, I actually kind of liked the event. Now, I didn't, like, I obviously am on the same boat where I'm saying, like, you know, Ronda or Brock didn't necessarily need to win the Rumble. I think Ronda should have showed up after Becky's match and been like, bitch, you know? Even though it doesn't matter, I guess, now because she's not facing Becky, so maybe that doesn't...
You think she's really not facing Becky, though?
She's not. She's facing Charlotte Flair. It was on SmackDown last week. She came out and she said, I'll see you at WrestleMania, bitch. She threw out the bitch that they always throw out.
That's so stupid. Why would she come back to face Charlotte?
I think they feel like Charlotte is more of a draw. You know, having a main event with Charlotte Flair is pretty big. I think also like Becky, like, I don't know. I heard some people saying like the Becky that we're getting now is not like main event Becky. Like the man was a whole nother beast. And I think when they want, if you have the Becky now face off against the Ronda now, I don't think you're getting the best out of Becky. I also think she's a heel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't think they want a heel to go, I don't know.
Well, Charlotte's a heel, so.
I know, yeah, that's why I stopped talking. I'm just trying to think here.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't buy that she's not facing Becky at WrestleMania still.
She's not facing Becky at WrestleMania. Like, they already have the Elimination Chamber coming up, And whoever wins that is facing Becky Lynch at WrestleMania.
Who's in the Elimination Chamber for the Chickies?
We right now have Liv Morgan, Ripley, Bianca Belair, Doudrop, Nikki Ash, and one TBA. So
oh my
one
God.
To be announced, which is going to be obviously your winner, I would imagine. And I have to think there were three names that came to mind. One obviously is Bayley. Bayley could definitely be in there, and if she is, I think it's a good chance she goes on to face Becky. But I think Becky's Bayley program at WrestleMania, I don't know. Like, I think it would be kind of boring, to be honest with you. And it's weird because I think Becky's so good in various programs with different people. I even liked her match with Doudrop. People were saying it was shit and they were complaining about it. I actually liked it. I thought it was a good match. I thought she had to work really hard to try to find a way to beat Doudrop. If she goes into a program with Bayley, like, I don't know. I've never seen those two have a program one-on-one. Yeah. They've all either had the combinations going on that work, but I find that Becky and Bayley just doesn't really do it. But maybe they'll be able to do something going into WrestleMania. And then another name being thrown out there, obviously, is Asuka, because she's been gone for a while. I think she was rumored to be at the Royal Rumble. They didn't use her. I guess they're going to inject her somewhere in there for WrestleMania. I don't know.
Do you, are they going to announce, like, are they making it as if it's going to be a surprise at Elimination Chamber, or they're just like, we're not sure who the last one's going to be yet?
Not sure who it is. I'm looking at the names here, and they're, well, obviously it's a Raw title match, right? So we're not going to find out on SmackDown this week. That was just tonight. But
we have a whole other week, though, right? Before this?
We have a whole other week. So I think either we're going to find out on Monday or it's going to be at the event itself. Mm-hmm. Trying to remember if Asuka's been to Saudi before, because a lot of people do or don't. You kind of tell how the card's going to shape out, right? Like, you have Kevin Owens. He was in a qualifying match for Elimination Chamber, and it's like, well, he's not going to win because he doesn't go to Saudi.
Yeah.
So you kind of knew he wasn't going to win. But yeah, I don't know. Because with Asuka, like, they could have brought her back at the Rumble. It's weird that they didn't. So maybe they didn't. They were trying to protect her, because if she goes in there, she'll be eliminated. Maybe she wasn't ready yet. You can say the same thing about Bayley. Like, why didn't they have her in there?
Yeah.
So
does Sasha have a shot of being in here, or is she on SmackDown?
So Sasha is on SmackDown. The weird thing is, last week on SmackDown, they were talking about how Becky, it looked like Becky was going to face Ronda, and Ronda was on Raw, and Charlotte was like, okay, well, it's no surprise. She didn't want to face me, so that's fine. Since I don't have a challenger for WrestleMania, then I'm just going to name somebody, which to me is so stupid, because she was in the Royal Rumble for that very purpose, to name her opponent, and she lost. And then here she's on SmackDown the next week naming her opponent. So fuck.
God. And she named Ronda?
No, she named Sasha.
Oh.
But then Ronda came out and said, whoa, hold on a minute. I'll see you at WrestleMania, bitch. Yeah. And then they switched it. So it's kind of weird that they even mentioned Sasha. It really did seem out of place for them to
triple
even
threat
there.
Match.
So yes, it could evolve into a triple threat match. But I know Sasha's like really campaigning, or not campaigning. I mean, the internet community is, for her to have all these different matches with like Melina, or with Mickie James, or with Lita. So maybe once Lita's done with Charlotte, Becky, maybe she will go on to face Sasha. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with a few of these people, man. It's crazy. Remember Drew McIntyre, right? He went on to face Brock Lesnar, squashed him in the WrestleMania main event. Then he faced off against Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship.
Mm-hmm.
This year at WrestleMania, you want to know whose match is? Baron Corbin. Happy Corbin. That's his match.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah.
How do we already know this?
Because it's kind of shaping out that way, and he's been feuding with Happy and Madcap Moss for a while, and he was injured and they did an injury storyline. He came back. He's facing Madcap Moss at Elimination Chamber. Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss, Elimination Chamber. Like, okay. Ooh, that's like the go take a piss and a shit and go eat and come back and like I don't know why.
Oy.
And he said on his promo this past week that he's not done with Happy by a long shot, and he's going to make his life a living hell, you know, moving forward or something. So it sounds like they're like just gearing up. So I think it's going to be Drew versus Happy Corbin WrestleMania, which to me is like such a waste.
But I mean, like, Corbin's like a respected guy as far as it goes for like.
Right. But he's not going to beat Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. So it's basically like Drew McIntyre just getting like a win at WrestleMania against somebody who never had a chance anyways.
Yeah, true. I don't know.
Well, maybe the betting odds are going to be good. Bet on Happy Corbin. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, Drew McIntyre's stock's not extremely that high. I mean, is anybody's in the WWE other than Brock Lesnar? And
well, I find they've protected Drew McIntyre so well. And even like post-championship too, even if his loss to like Bobby Lashley, they've always done a very good job. And I think it felt like he earned a lot of respect in his work ethics and how he kind of made his way back and he's carrying himself. So I don't know if this whole Happy Corbin thing is like, I don't know, maybe like missed a flight or something. And they're like, oh, we're going to doghouse you. Or they're testing him. Or they just, I think that WWE is very high on Happy Corbin as well. So they're like, whoa, we'll put you in a match with Drew McIntyre and it'll be good. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, WWE's like, always been pretty high on Corbin. So I don't see, I mean, I bet you they look at this
outside
like that,
of when he lost the Money in the Bank. Because I think he went around being very arrogant and cocky when he had his Money in the Bank briefcase. And I think he was very outspoken in terms of some of his points of views on things. And I think that rubbed people the wrong way. I think John Cena had a lot of pull at the time. So then he ended up losing the briefcase like the week after it happened. I remember that. And never was the same again. But I love Happy Corbin. Yeah, great stuff.
The men's Elimination Chamber match actually looks like a legit Elimination Chamber match for the first time in a long time. I mean, you got Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, Riddle, AJ Styles, and then Austin Theory. But
Austin Theory, they're like grooming him as if he's like, I don't even remember when John Cena came in during the Ruthless Aggression era and he had those like orange trunks on. I feel like they're really trying to push Austin Theory to the moon. He's been doing weekly segments with Vince McMahon for the past month.
Yeah.
Which is pretty big to have Vince on TV pushing you like that. But I agree with you. I think this is a pretty stacked Elimination Chamber. And you got to think about it. Like, how does Brock Lesnar, you know, walk out of this one not being the WWE champion? Which is, it's just so crazy. If you think about day one when Roman got sick, everything changed. Everything changed. He won the WWE title, Brock Lesnar. He won the Royal Rumble later on. I don't know if he would have won that Royal Rumble otherwise. Apparently, there was a strong rumor that Riddle was supposed to win the Royal Rumble. I don't know if you heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Riddle was supposed to win the Royal Rumble. And they changed their mind.
Which would have been awesome, by the way.
Would have been awesome. But what would have happened? He would have went on to face Randy, maybe? Or I don't know. So, but who knows, man. Maybe Riddle will win the WWE Championship here. And he will go on to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. You have to think these guys are on a collision course for Mania. I still want to see Riddle turn on Randy. But I also love what they're doing every week with American Alpha. And just Randy Orton and Riddle in general are really funny. They had a trivia event this past week, I think it was on Raw, and they're asking Riddle's team for the conversion of like how many ounces in a gram or something like that. And
Riddle knew it all.
Riddle knew it all, but Randy Orton answered it first, and Riddle was kind of surprised. And he's like, what? You think you're the only one who bakes? So I like, thought that was funny. He kind of butchered the line, but like that's what he meant.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I don't know. It's been interesting to see that. But I'm looking forward to that Elimination Chamber match. I'm just wondering how Brock could lose.
Yeah, it's pretty much the best match in the card. The rest of the card is pretty whatever. I mean, I guess people get excited and behind Becky Lynch versus Lita, but the rest of it looks pretty trash. Roman Goldberg, who cares? Usos, yeah. Viking Raiders, whatever.
Yeah.
And even the women's match, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be TBA. I think it's going to be a letdown probably, and then it's going to be Bianca and Rhea. The typical formula that they've kind of been using. Liv Morgan maybe going out third, and then Ripley or Bianca walking away with it.
I could have seen, like, honestly, like, for the Women's Royal Rumble, like, I could have seen Liv winning it and being really feel good because they've been doing a lot of building on her this year, and mm-hmm. she had a really good match with Becky. I'm not saying she would have been my pick, but I think that could have been a good pick. I don't know. A lot of people really shit on the Royal Rumble, like, a lot. And
yeah,
we were talking about the backlash, and I'd messaged you that like Shane McMahon took a lot of heat, right? And we heard that he kind of went in the back and he tries to get very involved with the Royal Rumbles, and he has in the past historically, but this year he kind of came in and like wanted to make a lot of it kind of centered around him.
Mm-hmm.
And Brock was like, no man, I want to go in there and dominate. And I think they were butting heads quite a bit. Shane wanted to build into a match, I think, with Seth Rollins, I think, at WrestleMania. I got to the point where Vince literally like kind of told Shane to go home. I think it got kind of blown into proportion that like he got fired or let go, but I think it's just like, dude, go home, you know? Like, I don't know. Like anybody will take any story and run with it, twist it and stretch it. Yeah, I mean, Shane being there in general was just like confusing to me. Like it was cool. He was there.
I don't mind Shane McMahon as a surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble. Like, Shane McMahon is never not delivered. I don't care what anybody says. There's never been a bad Shane McMahon match. There's been bad Shane McMahon storylines. The whole thing with Braun Strowman wasn't that great.
Oh my God, it was awful. It was but the worst thing.
All I think back is Hell in a Cell with Taker was sick. His match at WrestleMania with AJ Styles, questionably the match of the night.
Yeah.
All the stuff he used to do back in the day, dude, against Blackman, against Angle. I mean, Shane McMahon, man. He's fucking awesome.
I know. Yeah, he's definitely good. I wanted to see AJ Styles go, I guess, a lot longer than he did.
Yeah, me too.
I was hoping maybe he was going to win.
He came out first, didn't he?
Yeah, he did come out first. He even did the Shawn Michaels pose when he came out, did the flex. Sami Zayn eliminated Johnny Knoxville, kind of looking through this just quickly. There was no Dominic Mysterio, Rey Mysterio. They teased throwing each other out for weeks, and then they weren't even in the Rumble at the same time, which I thought was silly.
It was a very forgettable Rumble. The only thing I really remember from it is that, excuse me, two UFC fighters won in Ronda and Brock. That's pretty
much Bad Bunny was there and outshined some of the full-timers.
Yeah, Bad Bunny's awesome.
It was good. I don't know. Not much more than that. And the women had a lot of cool surprises, right? So we had Melina in. That was pretty cool to see her. Big, big fan reaction. Kelly was there.
But, I mean, Kelly and Michelle McCool and all those people, whatever. They're going to be there every year.
Yeah. They could be.
The Bellas, who cares?
And the Bells will always turn on each other.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool as a right to censor wrestler, and that's what you have to do going in there and like talking to the mic. I don't remember right to censor, but
that was good.
It was more memorable.
She looked good for 60.
Is she 60? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mickey James was cool.
Had a good run.
Yeah.
Let her come out to her music, have the title. And it's funny because, oh my God, this week I hear them talking and it was like, WWE had numerous restrictions enforced on Mickie James and her being in the Royal Rumble, and literally everything had to be, you know, stipulated in terms of what they said. And apparently they weren't allowed to say wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
They could say Impact. She's from Impact, but they couldn't say Impact Wrestling. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think that's silly and stupid, but that's like one thing.
It wasn't even Mickey James. It was the commentators that had restrictions.
Yeah, they were not saying Knockouts Wrestling or something. I don't know what it was, but it was like really minimal, and it made it seem like it was like the biggest deal ever. And it totally overlooking the fact that they let this happen to begin with. And the WWE doing that is pretty big deal. So come on, man. Like, honestly, it's ridiculous. They'll find anything and run with it.
It was a cool
Sarah Logan being there was kind of cool, even though that was short lived. Summer Rae has a really big forehead.
She was in there for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
She's like, all my friends flew out. I was like, for what though?
Yeah. Yeah. Mighty Molly got her ass kicked by Nikki A.S.H., which was, dude, sidelined her. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was all right. It was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, the two Rumbles are always fun. No matter the outcome, the Rumbles are always fun. They're always interesting. There is something about the countdown and not knowing who's going to come out. So that was all right, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the road to WrestleMania got kicked off all that well, because Ronda comes back. We're all like, okay, we're getting Ronda Becky. We're not getting it. We're getting Ronda Charlotte. We don't know who Becky's fighting yet. Brock Lesnar. I mean, who didn't see that from a mile away? Right.
Well, everybody did. Yeah. And then you have people online like, I called it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, so the whole Internet. Yeah. We all called it. We all knew.
Everybody knew.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. And Elimination Chamber is going to be what it is as well. In other news, though, AEW, right, with the big Forbidden Door announcement, it being literally somebody who is not from another company in Keith Lee. Now, I'm all, like, down for Keith Lee being there. I think it's cool. But Tony Khan, I mean, this is going to be the craziest signing ever. You have to tune in. Guys, it's Christian. You're like, yeah, yeah. Christian's doing his little, why isn't anybody clapping thing? Why isn't anybody clapping? Come on, man. It's the biggest signing ever. It's Pac. Pac was already in here. What's going on here? The Forbidden Door has never been opened the way it's going to be opened here. It's a free agent signing.
You heard about him kind of goffing on his Forbidden Door and kind of correcting himself after Dynamite this week.
Well, if I'm going to define Forbidden Door, it just means somebody who doesn't work here, but, you know.
Well, he kind of admitted that he was wrong and that he kind of like botched his wording of it because he did say it last week. And it, when he did say the Forbidden Door, he did mean Keith Lee when he wrote it, saying, oh, yeah, like close the door on your previous company, which is like, okay, man, just like do your shit.
You mean he got fired? Well, he didn't close the door. He had the door slammed in his face.
Yeah. And
I like AW, but still, it's just fun to rag on him.
Tony Khan is, I mean, I think he's a good booker, a good businessman. He's bringing in a lot of talent that I like. So, you know, I get to see these guys in great matches and stuff, but sometimes on social media, it's like, dude, have somebody else do it for you.
It's funny, though, because I'm like, I don't like Tony Khan, but he entertains the fuck out of me. So
he does.
It's just fun to not like him. Like, he would probably be a pretty good heel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's only a matter of time till he starts becoming an on-air personality.
But you said you never would.
Yeah, come on. He said lots of things. He said, like, oh, we're not going to take everybody from WWE either because we want to build our own identity. I mean, look at the roster now. Look at it. And now, you know what he said at the press conference? He said, now we're in a situation where I'm not going to be able to renew some contracts.
Well, no
shit. So he's
already
pre-facing people to say, hey, we're going to have to let go of some people.
Yeah, everybody who's homegrown. I see ya.
Well, Brian Cage is probably going to be out of there because he hasn't been there forever. And he'll go to the WWE in a second. They would jump on that guy immediately.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, you guys are so happy that Miro comes in there and you're still defend him and say, like, oh, they'll use him in smart ways when they think the time is right. But I mean, honestly, like, yeah, he had a great run at the TNT title, but that was it. The video game thing was crap. And then since then, he's really hasn't been anywhere. I mean, good for him for being paid to, you know, have sex with his hot wife and play video games. It's the dream. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure as like a career guy, he's going to want to go out there and do things. And then Ruby Riott, we were so happy for her being signed. And then after this whole tournament was done, well, she hasn't been on TV much and she's being squashed. Mm-hmm. Not squashed, I guess she's being defeated. But, you know, I don't know. You know, and honestly, so we're talking about the Forbidden Door thing. And initially he talked about it, right? And in the end, he realized fans were calling him out and saying, well, you know, Forbidden Door is when it's from like, you know, another company coming. So who do you have coming? Are you going to buy out like somebody's contract or Ali? You're going to buy out his contract out? So I don't on an AW this past week, there was a segment backstage where Adam Cole and the Young Bucks were beating on somebody and Jay White showed up. And it was very, very brief, kind of like, oh, hey, how's it going? Forbidden Door. Okay, bye. But it was kind of like really just thrown in there half-assed.
Yeah.
And
I like
then,
Jay White, though. That'd be sick.
Yeah, same here. Same here. But then Tony Khan kind of came back and was like, I gave that to you because I listened to the fans and I was talking about a Forbidden Door being open. So I didn't want to give false advertisement. So literally I threw that in there to still give them that Forbidden Door while in reality, what I really meant was Keith Lee. We got Jay White, who's going to be part of AEW.
This guy reads every single mention he has on Twitter, doesn't he?
Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah, and poor guy. Keith, that sucks.
Keith Lee, you know, restoring everything that he was in NXT, Limitless, even having pretty much the same theme music. Sang, it seems like the same singers of Kenny Omega's theme song or something. It's pretty good. It's a great entrance song. You know, great to see him back. I imagine Mia Yim will follow as well eventually.
Bask, and he's horny.
Yeah, yeah. He sent that guy flying across the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But it's just kind of like their roster is so immense now at this point. And I don't know if you saw, but I saw it this evening. There was a post from Hikaru Shida. And people are saying that it wasn't translated properly, so I don't know the deal behind it. And I only read it just before I came on the show, but she was talking about how, like, you know, she came into AEW and, you know, she felt like it was something special to be a Japanese wrestler and it would kind of like not set her apart, but make her more unique. And while it was that in a while, for a while, she saw the roster growing and more people coming in, and she felt like she was happy to be a part of what she's a part of. But now, you know, she's having a lot harder opportunities, not really being put on TV, not even on Dark or the YouTube shows anymore. And she says that when she came there, like, her, she says her English isn't terrible, but AW's really done nothing for her to help her get better at it or support her. So when she moved all the way over here for them, like, she had to find a place to live and they didn't help her at all.
What the hell? Which, in what world does your job do that for you, really?
A lot of companies do that. Now, I'm going to agree with you and say, like, it really...
Do they pay her?
Yeah.
They've done their job.
It really shouldn't be up to them to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, they could be like, oh, you're coming here. We want you to come in from Japan. Oh, I don't have anywhere to live. Oh, don't worry. We'll help you. Or I would have negotiated that to begin with. Okay, well, help me find somewhere to live.
I mean, it's not that hard.
I don't know. I hear a lot of people from Japan coming to Florida and having a hard time finding a place to live. Now, I agree with you, but since I hear it so much, it must be a thing.
Well, you know what? It's called get a fucking real estate agent whose job it is to help you find a place. And you know what? I bet you there's Japanese ones.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And she's talking about how Emi Sakura came in. She was like the Freddie Mercury older one really popular back in the day in Japan. And she's having the same experience now. She moved all the way over here for the opportunity. And you know, didn't have any help at all. But she seems to have found a place on her own. So it's like, she's like, same thing's happening with Emi Sakura, who came here but managed to find a place on her own. And it's like, well, then you're contradicting yourself. But anyways, it looks like she's kind of a little bit frustrated. So I'm interested to see how Tony Khan responds, because we saw what happened when Big Swole complained. I'm just curious to see what his rebuttal is going to be here.
I mean,
but I imagine people are trying to get frustrated, though, because imagine being part of AW, like Chris Statlander, right? Like, I'm sure she's still gonna have a good future, but she was such a huge potential puzzle piece, right? And then she got injured. And then since she came back, she kind of never really picked up the momentum. And now we have all these new talent being injected, like Jade Cargill. Like, come on, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, Thunder Rosa, and, you know, they're probably going to bring in, you know, new talent, you know? So even on the men's side, you know, it must be tough to see all these people coming in and, like, wondering, you know, what's going to happen. You know, it's only a matter of time until Jeff Hardy's going to be there as well, too.
You know,
Matt Hardy jumped the guardrail similar to the way Jeff Hardy did at that live event. So they're teasing that already. I know.
Yeah. The thing, this is how I look at it, right? The wrestling community is very progressive, I find. At least the vocal ones on Twitter are. Wrestling is not a business that should be progressive because it's scripted, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Hollywood. Megastars become megastars for a reason. Not because they were put in a movie. I mean, they've tried to push stars to become megastars. It doesn't work. You either have it or you don't. And I feel like wrestling should be, you know, somewhat the same way. It's like, yeah, I came all the way here from Japan, or I moved and I changed my whole life for this. Yeah, but you didn't pull, you know? And it's not up to somebody else to book you to pull. I mean, you could lose every match and still pull. I mean, Hurricane Helms.
Dude, The Miz.
The Miz. Well, The Miz has had quite a bit of success. One of the greatest IC champions of all time. But I mean, like, you could be a nobody and pull.
All I'm saying is look at the Miz's win-loss record. I'm pretty sure it's
It's probably pretty low. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, the world wants to be so progressive, and they want everybody to have a chance, but then they don't want anybody not to be used. And it's like, it's got to be on a rotation. But I will say that AEW has kind of booked themselves into a corner, which is my favorite thing to say on the show. But really, the era of surprising me with signings is over. If you don't work for WWE, or you used to work for WWE, and I know who you are, you're going to AEW. So debuting, who gives a shit? Like, we're over it. I mean, unless Charlotte Flair goes over, or Becky Lynch.
Or Shane McMahon.
Or Sasha, or Roman, or Brock, or Seth. Nothing else is really going to blow my mind. AJ Styles ends up in AEW, won't be that surprised. Bobby Lashley ends up in AEW, wouldn't be that surprised. I mean, really, Goldberg goes over there, wouldn't be that surprised.
I think Goldberg's going to be a WWE lifer, though.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, Daniel Bryan Adam Cole and CM Punk. You're not going to get better than that.
Moxley, Jericho. I mean, all great.
But even,
all great.
Even, yes, all great. But even Moxley and Jericho, you kind of saw it. You saw it from a really far. You didn't. Nobody saw Daniel Bryan going to AEW. I mean, nobody fucking saw until we saw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when AEW came out, nobody was like, oh, I bet you Daniel Bryan's going to end up there. No.
Well, that's the thing, too. And it's like, if you actually look at the week where we finally got Punk versus MJF, which is a good, great match. Mm-hmm. And I thought the storytelling and that was interesting. I liked the way that Wardlow kind of came out and he ended up punching CM Punk with the ring. And you didn't find out until after with the camera angles.
Yeah, very cool.
That he handed the ring. I thought that was really clever. Having him win over CM Punk in Chicago, like, it was genius. Like, it was very good booking, very smart, and not something the WWE would do. So I had to give him a lot of credit, and I really like what CM Punk's doing, giving back the way he is. Now they're having their rematch, I think, where I guess CM Punk will get that win back.
He should lose again.
Yeah,
he should never be able to beat MJF.
Yeah,
he should never be able to beat MJF ever.
But I really like that. AEW's doing a lot of really cool things. Even the you know, the only thing I would say is, like, we all were waiting for Hangman Page to win that championship, and I feel like his story every week or his segment has kind of not been heavily advertised, or just kind of happens like a regular other segment. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt when Kenny Omega was champion, or Moxley was champion, or Jericho was champion, like, there would be this feel when he came out as a champion. You wait for that segment, and I feel like you don't get it with Hangman Page. He's not as good on the mic as well, but he's getting better.
He just doesn't have that presence yet.
But when he has matches, they're bangers.
Yeah.
But dude, the guy like mutilates himself every match now.
Yeah.
So he's just gushing blood every time. But a lot of unique things involved too. They ended up taking off the top rope so he couldn't do his buckshot lariat, which I thought was clever. Mm-hmm.
Doing it off the ref was awesome.
The bleeding was a little bit too much.
Oh, come on.
I know, because that's what everyone's saying. They're like, shut the fuck up. The bleeding's too much. I don't think they need every big match to have blood.
I like
one
it.
Of those guys. I like it, but I don't think don't do it all the time.
They're fighting.
Nah, I don't think so. It means more if it's done a little bit rarer. But I also find when they do it, it's just gushing, and it's just like, I don't know.
You gotta
it's
be
hard
sick.
To watch.
Yeah.
It was gross. It was hard to watch. It was hard to look at.
Oh, come on, man. When they used to blade in WWE, we loved it.
It's still hard to look at.
We used to love it.
And they would accidentally blade themselves. They'd go too deep. Hangman's just like, not deep enough. Take out the ice pick and hit me in the head with it a couple times.
Like, sometimes I'm bored at work and I'm like, Eddie Guerrero, JBL.
Yeah.
And watch,
spitting,
watch.
Eh?
And I'm just like
spitting.
And it's satisfying.
Yeah, oh my God.
I love
but,
it.
But Tony Khan, yeah. Like, so getting back to what I was trying to say, the CM Punk MJF match that week specifically, the ratings weren't great. Not terrible, but they definitely weren't where they want them to be, especially with a matchup of that caliber. So I think Tony Khan feels the need to have surprises every week. So I think that's where we're at, where he's bringing people in every week, new surprises every week for that viewership and for people to tune in. But I think, you know, I know Booker T spouts off a lot of shit that, like, you know, he's kind of in his little box, but a big part of wanting to get those numbers is going to have to be appeasing to kids and women and their demographic. Like, look at it, it's all sweaty middle-aged men, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's fine. I don't give a shit. Keep it the product the way it is. I'm happy with it because I am the demographic.
Yeah.
But if he's chasing numbers and he cares that much about the numbers, then at some point Tony's gonna have to think about that.
You know,
and then maybe change everything that, you know, he wants to be, which he doesn't want to change, right? He wants to keep his recipe, but if he wants those numbers at the same time, it's going to be hard to do.
I feel like AEW is Tony Khan's play toy. Like, let's be honest, he's a billionaire son, right? And he has other jobs that are real. And this is like a hobby for him. And I think the whole numbers thing, I think he cares about the numbers because he wants to compete with WWE. I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but, and I'm making a huge assumption and judgment here. But if I were him, I just want to fuck shit up. Like, I just want to be like, I don't care if this is a sustainable business. I want to beat WWE, have fun doing it. I'm rich as fuck. I'm going to sign as many people as I can. I'm just going to have fun and, like, live out my dreams of being, you know, be a GM mode in fucking WWE 2K. And just have fun. And when it all comes crashing, I just go back to being a billionaire. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I had a good run. It's like, oh, I had a good run.
No, but really, like, I don't think that if AEW ever went under, anybody would be like, whoa, he's a failed businessman. It's like, nah, dude. I think he's just having fun, man. Like, you ever see that documentary on Netflix about the rich guy who gave his son a hockey team? And he turned the hockey team into this fighter, like a team full of fighters. And then all of a sudden it got so big, it kind of took over the league. And then they started winning championships because they were signing ex-NHLers to come play for them in like these shitty leagues. I feel like the guy's just doing that, man. He's just like, fuck the rules. I'm going to fuck shit up. And I'll give him credit for that because it is cool and it's entertaining to watch. I don't think AEW is going to be here for the long haul. I really don't.
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think it's going to have to be. I mean, like, unless, like you said, unless Tony Khan decides to just walk away and be like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with my toys. I
what happens when they run out of WWE talent?
Well, WWE is going to keep releasing people, so they won't have that problem for a while.
Yeah, but WWE is releasing, let's be honest, apart from the guys who left themselves, WWE is trimming fat.
Yeah.
The WWE product has gotten better since the releases.
Well, also, remember what's coming up, WrestleMania, and what happens right after WrestleMania? Releases.
They trim the fat. They're not cutting Sashas. They're not cutting Baileys. No. They're cutting...
Reggie's and Dana Brooke and Akira Tozawa.
And then AEW's Mansoor. Like, Dana Brooke, we're going to feature her for 2 weeks. She's going to do the flip thing again.
Bringing the flip back.
And we're all going to be like, oh my God, Dana's got a shot. And then she's going to lose to DMD. If she even makes it there.
There's going to be some heartbreaking release like R-Truth or something after WrestleMania. There's always like one or two that's like really tough.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like AEW's done much with anything. I don't think they built anybody up all that big, man. Like,
okay, Darby, I guess. Jungle Boy. Not even, right?
Like, I wouldn't say Jungle Boy.
Like, I feel like they've had so much time that they could have. But I feel like they build them up, then kind of like let them cool off. And they build them up, let them cool off.
Yeah, because they're like,
let them cool off.
They're like, look at the new releases over
don't
at the
WWE. Don't they have
the
tag titles too? And like, I don't even know.
I don't have no idea.
Yeah.
But it is a show that when I do tune in, I'm like, oh, that was good. And that was quick. That felt like that was good.
Segments are good. They're always quick.
Good. Always good.
Yeah, it's really jam packed.
It is good. It's a great product. There's nothing wrong with that. But how old is it now? 2 years?
Two and a half, maybe.
I'm pretty sick and tired about scrolling through Twitter every day and going, so-and-so is all elite. I don't care. I don't know who they are. There's some indie person that will be on a couple dark matches. And some neckbeard's going to jerk off and tell me about it. That's pretty much where we're at now.
Yep. It's pretty frustrating to see. And that's kind of why I try to stay off social media for the most part. And like you said, I've been taking your advice and just unfollowing people, even Dirt Sheets too. I'm trying to like just go into it fresh,
mm-hmm.
Both products, and it's been nice. But again, it's just kind of annoying because AW will do something like have a ladder match and be like, oh, I forgot what a ladder match was like, you know? Or somebody will take a shot at, they always like, will take a shot. Instead of being like, I enjoyed this. It's like, I enjoyed this WWE shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know why. And I don't know. Our friend Nuclear Convoy unfollowed me, And I'm like, okay, well, what did I do? Because I think the only interactions I've had with them are really positive or just talking about stuff. And the only thing that I did was he shit on Raw or something. And he was like, oh, something Raw. Like, oh, this AEW is great. Unlike, you know, Raw, which has been crap lately. And I even supported his claim and said, like, I agree. Raw has been crap lately. But check out the main event with the women. It was really solid. And it was like Becky versus Liv versus Doudrop or something. Or I think maybe even what's her name was in there, the girl who was with Andrade, Zelina,
mm-hmm.
Something like that. It was a great match, a banger, and I was like, dude, just it's worth watching. And then like I've had no interactions with him otherwise, so I'm like, really? Because I said, hey, watch WWE, they actually had a good match even though they are usually crap. Like, what did I like, is that enough to set you off to unfollow me? You know, like, I don't know, we went to school together, like, come on. I've always been nice and respectful to you. I don't know if it's like I retweeted something that was like taking a joke at AW, but I also retweet things that take jokes at WWE. So it's just like, I don't know, hypersensitive, and it's like really, someone will unfollow you because you like the WWE and they don't.
Honestly, so. To tell you the truth, I like how, like, what's the word? When like, you know, when like your girlfriend's crazy.
Oh yeah, I've had a lot of those.
What's that called? I like the instability of Vince McMahon. I really do. I'm like, when that motherfucker released Braun Strowman, I was like, holy fucking shit, this guy's crazy. This guy is absolutely fucking crazy. He spent how long building this motherfucker up? How long did he build him up? Build him up to miss an opportunity. Build him back up to miss an opportunity. Stuff him down our throats to be exactly what you would think that Vince McMahon wanted. And then he's like, you know what? Fuck you, Braun. Get the hell out of here. I love it.
Yep. I know. I'm actually, I think what might have done it, I'm looking now, and I think it was a joke, but at the same time, I still believe it. So, you know, initially when COVID started and it was hitting both in companies, and I guess people were giving AEW credit because they felt they were handling it a lot better, mm-hmm. even though they were having, like, you know, their talent sitting around the ring and being, you know, the fans and stuff. And we don't know what people were doing in or out or behind the state behind the curtains, but people in the WWE started getting COVID, right, and dropping like flies or, you know, being taken off TV. And there was a point in time where Taz said on TV, like, oh yeah, AW, we don't run a sloppy shop over here. Mm-hmm. And it was a shot at WWE because people were getting sick, and I guess they thought that they were taking a sloppy approach to the pandemic, right? So a lot of the fans were shitting on WWE because they weren't doing a very good job and doing their part in the midst of this pandemic, and saying that they will run a sloppy shop. So a lot of news came out from Nia Jax, because she did the Renee Paquette podcast, and she talked about all kinds of different things. It's a really interesting interview. It's where she went into Vince McMahon's office, and Vince McMahon literally said, like, Nia, we need you to get vaccinated. And she said, no, I'm not going to get vaccinated. I have my beliefs, and you need to respect them, and I'm choosing not to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And then said, okay, well, I need you to be a, you know, locker room leader here and lead by example. But if you're not going to do it, like, you're not going to be able to fulfill your commitments on some of the shows because you need to be vaccinated. And she's like, okay, well, that's fine. And they basically kind of like took her off a lot of the shows and kind of changed her her storylines, because mm-hmm. like, she couldn't go to the show, right? So they had to kind of rewrite things. So she talked about that, and then you had the AEW mark shitting on the WWE for kind of forcing Nia, or kind of like, they're happy that Nia stood up. They're like, yeah, Nia, fuck WWE,
but you run a sloppy shop, right?
Yeah, but it's like, so what? You're mad at WWE because they run a sloppy shop, but when they ask talent to get vaccinated and somebody stands up, they're a hero. So, like, that was it. And I think it was like a tweet saying something like that. I kind of just retweeted because I thought it was kind of funny. It was like, yeah, you're right. Like, they were bashing them for having a sloppy shop, but then when they try to get their talent vaccinated, you know, they're like giving respect to the people who stand up to WWE and say no. So it's like, well, what the fuck? You know, like, I don't know, man. Like, what the fuck?
Well, then let me rephrase what I said before. I love the instability of Vince McMahon, and I also love the instability of AEW fans, because it's entertaining as hell to watch them just not be able to take it. They just can't take it. And it's funny.
Can you imagine that, though? Like, that was kind of it for me. It's like, I remember, you know, our friend James, right? And it's like, we grew up in school together, and we known each other for a super long time. And I found, like, we reconnected over wrestling over the past couple of years. And we talked about, like, you know, going to Brooklyn, Japan, and he was hyping us up with all this, like, these cool indie wrestlers. But I'm telling you, like, as much as I love this dude, like, he is the definition of a mark. And he does, like, things outside of AEW, which is respectful, but he just really does not like WWE. And he's one of those guys that just, like, do not like them, will not like them, doesn't want to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I was trying to, you know, be like, well, I agree with you. For the most part, it's not what you want to be, and it's shit, but there's some really good matches, and you should check out this match this week. I think you would like it. And just because I kind of show some liking towards something that they hate so much that's enough for them to like be like, I don't want to be associated with you anymore. Like, how fucking ridiculous is that? Eh?
Are your feelings hurt though, Michael?
Well, I was gonna unfollow him first and he beat me to it.
Hey, that was a pretty good Seth Rollins laugh.
Kevin.
Do you want to take a quick brizake and come back and talk some more shit?
All right, let's do it.
Yeah?
Let's do it.
All right, hold up. Let me pull up my thing. All right, we'll be back after this.
Mr. Chaos. So sick of this whack rap. I see you whack bitches acting like I'm going away. I'll be here until you haters quit showing your face. Can't be a Don Dada if we know that you're fake. Whole crew is full of pussies like a lesbian train. All claim to bust guns, couldn't tell me where the mag goes. Whack hoes getting wiped like assholes. I'm so sick of whack rap, it's the internet's that. Real lyrics coming back so young and better face facts. You don't even wanna see it, you don't really wanna beef. I'm a sniper in the jungle and a hitter in the street. Best believe me when I say it, man, I'm telling the truth. Had the mic smell of death when I murdered the booth. Y'all done went and did it, so I had to kill it. Had me spitting hot fire like sriracha with it. I'ma drop the mic, let you have it back. Soaked it with the gasoline and now I lit the match.
And I timed that perfectly.
Nice.
What's up, Penis?
I'm reading while we're on break here. I'm thinking of the Elimination Chamber, and I have to think, man. Good chance it could be Alexa Bliss as well. Ugh. They've been doing this whole, like, her journey back to Raw, and if she does this whole journey back to Raw and doesn't end up at WrestleMania, it'd be surprising. So now I'm kind of like, oh, fuck.
I'm kind of over Bliss.
Dude, like, I watch on one of the 24/7 channels. I have the Elimination Chamber with the tag team of the women, right?
Yeah.
Good match. It was really enjoyable to watch. I miss Bliss when she was just Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I remember being like, oh, she should do a character change. And, you know, I'm kind of tired of Bliss, but like, I really go back and look and I'm like, she was fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this unstable, sorry, my speech is unstable. The unstable Alexa Bliss, you know, I know she's crying and screaming and really committing herself to the role, and I can respect that, but that's not what I want anymore. It's not what I want anymore.
But it's a confusing role. I find like the whole, wait a second, Corey and Carmella, what is this? Do you see this post by Carmella?
No, but I know Graves has been cleared to return, so I'm excited to see.
Okay, there's a photo of a topless Carmella holding her breasts in a pair of jeans with Corey Graves standing beside her, holding up her jeans, and then an image of Corey and Carmella coming soon.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
And I'm pretty turned on right now.
Are they just going to, like, do it and make an OnlyFans?
I mean, I would watch anything have sex with Carmella.
She's hot.
She's very hot.
Yeah, she's a very, very... And she actually looks like a really cool girl. Like, yeah. She looks like she'd be someone who'd be really fucking cool to hang out with.
Yeah, but she got destroyed by Cass, so... You guys probably got a third leg for a donger. Sorry, I cut you off there. What were we talking about? We're talking about reading about Elimination Chamber. You watch Carmella Elimination Chamber with Miss Alexa Bliss.
I just miss Alexa Bliss, the old Alexa Bliss, you know, like, I don't know. And the whole Nikki A.S.H. thing, too, like, is stupid.
I'm quite over Bliss being Bray Wyatt. Like, the whole, what is she, Little Miss Bliss or whatever you call it? I'm a little over it.
And you know that they're calling, so Big E's been put back with Kofi Kingston on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, right? Imagine, like, you know, being the champion, you're like, oh my god, this is great, and be champion, I'm gonna be able to make something of this and make people remember me.
Mm-hmm.
He became a transitional champion, unfortunately. I think he was kind of booked that way to start. He never really had a chance. It was, mm-hmm, nothing really to do with him. He did the best he could given the circumstance. But here's the kicker, right? Now he's been stripped of the title. He got the pin. He got pinned to begin with, which they could have protected him a bit. They didn't. And he's kind of been buried now on SmackDown with Kofi Kingston. Now, he could take some solace in the fact that he's back with his brother on the New Day, but they actually haven't even been calling them the New Day when they're together. They call them Kofi and Big E. So imagine that. They're actually not even letting him be part of the New Day. Man. Man.
You don't think that that maybe is just like a thing? Did they come out to the New Day song?
I don't remember. I imagine they did.
And did just like the commentators be like, it's Big E and Kofi?
Well, I think like even underneath where it says that their names and they come out.
Oh, come on. They're the
New Day. I know. I know. But it's a little bit weird. And you think about it being like, oh, don't read that much into it. WWE wouldn't do that. Yes, they would.
Yeah.
They totally would.
Okay. So the funny thing about New Day is that when I came back at WrestleMania 31, these guys came out and they started this. Mm-hmm. And Xavier's like, New Day rocks. And everybody was like, New, because they were heels. Day sucks. And I was like, these guys are never. And this is from stopping in like 2002 all the way up to WrestleMania 31. I'm like, these guys are never going to be something. Little did I know.
Oh, they've all done something. You know?
That like 6-7 years later, two of them have been WWE champions, and the New Day is still as hot as it ever was. Mm-hmm. Really. Mm-hmm. They didn't even do this in Plateau. It was this constant, constant rise. Bootios at WrestleMania when they came out the cereal box. Their fucking feud with Sheamus
with the bar.
With the bar, with the Hell in the Cells. I mean, you got to hand it to these motherfuckers, man.
And I have, like, honestly, like, look, Big E probably is frustrated right now. He's somebody that would probably maybe let his contract expire or go test waters elsewhere. I don't know about Kofi. I mean, Kofi could leave and come back, but he's also been there long enough. He might be a lifer. I don't know. But if they're looking for career fulfillment, like, I feel like at some point in time, you know, you have those dream matches or those fantasy bookings, and I feel like we got to get the New Day versus the Young Bucks or the Young Bucks and the Usos or something. So we talk about the best tag team in the world, the best tag teams of all time, right? And the Usos are definitely up in that contendership. And I feel like I like it when the best tag teams in the world go at it. And it's so hard, right? Because you have the New Day and what circumstances are going to allow all three to leave the company. Now, I know Xavier Woods is very comfortable and he could probably walk away whenever he wants. He'll have a career at G4. You know, and all kinds of stuff. And I feel like these guys could always come back at the same time, but I don't know. You know, I think Kofi would be the hardest one to leave, but I don't know.
For me, the greatest ever tag team dream match of this new era would be The Bar, The Usos, New Day, and The Young Bucks. And you could even whip out The Bar and put in the Lucha Bros, but I feel like The Bar being powerhouses would really add to the dynamic of the match. But I just don't understand how that could ever go down.
I feel like they have to like really get over themselves and then like once a year do an event for wrestling, not for themselves as a company.
Oh.
And they do some kind of collaboration, but I just don't feel like we're ever gonna get that, right?
That's very true. There was something else I wanted to talk about, and I'm trying to find her name. She's in NXT. Where can I find the NXT roster online?
Can you describe her to me?
No, because I don't want to give it away. I want to play a sound clip.
Mandy Rose, no. Kaylee Ray.
No. Where can I find the NXT roster? That's what I need to do.
Type in WWE NXT roster.
NXT.
Oh, Wendy Chu, the girl in the pajamas?
No. No. NXT, the brand.
She's like their Orange Cassidy now.
NXT 2.0. Oh, my God. How can I find this? I need to find her name. Because it is so bad that I have to play it.
Oh, the Tiffany Stafford?
Who's she?
The one who, every time she talks, my ears bleed? She acts like a valley girl.
No.
OMG.
No, no, no. Worse. Hold on. Why isn't there a fucking NXT roster? I don't get it. Fandom.
Because they're releasing people so quickly.
Female rosters. Zoe Stark? No, it's not her. No. Persia. She's not even on this list. Why isn't she on this list? Hold on.
Indy Hartwell?
One sec. Oh, this is killing me, dude. Why is this killing me so hard, man? I saw a bunch of her promos. And, okay, I got to tell you.
Cora Jade?
No. She's a singer. Her shtick is she's a singer.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen anything of her other than these promos that are popping up.
Okay.
Not a good singer either, right?
Okay. No, it's beyond that. It is absolutely beyond that. And we have to play it because if anybody hasn't witnessed this, like, we're talking like Isaac Yankum bad gimmicks. Duke the Dumpster Drowsy bad gimmicks. What is going on in NXT 2.0?
I don't know, man. I actually stopped watching NXT.
Is it Oli J? No. Des, help me out here, man. What the fuck is this chick's name?
Just go to their... Okay, I'll find out for you. You just got to go to the NXT handle. And I think they post like 2, 3, 4 of them a day of this girl. I've seen them.
I don't even know what the NXT handle is.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you saw the video clip of... not the Iconics, Inspiration, they're called now, on Impact.
Yeah.
I guess you haven't. Dude, they're playing the exact same characters. It literally is the Iconics.
Well, of course. Yeah. Oh, it's Nikita.
Okay. Nikita WWE.
Okay, here we go.
Can apply to Nikita Lyons.
Can you hear this?
I can sing, but I can also kick ass.
To run my name like an anthem.
You gotta hear her
sing. The road made me grow up quicker than I imagined. I had to learn to defend myself. People tried breaking into the van, creepy concert goers. I would take them all on if I had to. Eventually, I was the one picking the fights just because I knew I could finish them. It's easy to look at me and make assumptions. Oh, she's just a girl. She's all looks. But if you come at me with that weak, you better watch out for this lion's roar.
Okay, so this is Nikita Lyons. Ooh, she got a fucking fat ass, though. Holy shit. That was the best promo I've seen so far from her, because she's not singing in it. Here's the one where she sings.
From east to west coast, from the dirty south to the Arctic north, while my dad worked for every cent that he earned. People still complain that I was learning life skills from shady club owners and degenerate musicians, which might be true. But in reality, every one of my experiences in life has led me to these lyrics I've written in this very moment. I know who I am, I'm living my truth. Tell me can't do that, I'ma make a comeback. This whole industry is cutthroat. Everybody sleeping till you're all the way up. Go. I am now an NXT.
You know what she reminds me of? Who's that really bad rapper? The blonde Australian girl. Is Iggy Azalea.
Oh my god.
Like, dude.
Same energy with me. Keep the same energy. Ladies, you better.
What?
I don't know how they thought this was a good idea. No, you're going to be a singer, but I can't sing. It's fine.
No, but it's not even that she's a singer. They're like, this is your gimmick. Not only are you a singer, right? Because singing gimmicks aren't that bad, right? I mean, we've had a really good singing gimmick. Can you name them?
Well, Jillian Hall was the worst singer, but that was her gimmick being a terrible singer.
Come on.
We have My Baby Tonight.
No, the best one.
Lia sings.
No, better. Come on, man.
I don't know. Who do you got? Give me a hint.
Rusev Day.
Oh, Aiden English, right? Apple orchards in my eye.
Okay, so this chick, not only is she a singer with a bad gimmick, but her whole gimmick is like, I live in a van. I toured the country. I got raised by scummy guys in nightclubs. My dad spent all of his money to fulfill my dream. She's literally writing in like a fucking notebook lyrics with like hearts over the eyes.
No.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking at it right now. Using like a Bic pen. Come on, man. That's early 90s gimmicks, man. That's bad stuff. That is worse than the Berserker. That's worse than the Repo Man. I mean, really, that is trash. Trash.
I like how you did Repo Man and then trash there.
Yeah.
But he was in a garbage band, I guess. That makes no sense. But he looked like a garbage band.
He looked like
That's
garbage.
That's true. He looked like a garbage band, but he wasn't. He was a Repo Man.
He looked like a raccoon, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with NXT, man, but all I know is that if you went from Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era and runs like Asuka had and Shinsuke Nakamura and, you know, fucking Seth Rollins and Finn Balor to it's the same energy, it's the same energy. I just did it better than her.
You did.
I did.
Book this, man. I like some of the silly stuff on there. I like the Wendy Chu, the girl in the like the sleeping girl who like you seen her move that she does where she goes off the rope and like falls asleep and falls on the person. That's pretty clever.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like it's not like a real gimmick that you can get behind or you think they could be a champion. It's
she's
so funny
she's sleepy. That's what she is. That's her.
Yeah,
gimmick?
She's just sleepy all the time. Yeah, and it's funny because you have her. She was like the mother of that like mafia that they had, right? Remember she was like the demon, like had like all the hair in front of her face, and she finally debuted and then lost, and she was off TV. She was with Xia Li and Boa, and then she was like this really mysterious scary character, and then she comes back and she's this, and she ends up being like so over. Here, look, I'll show you the little drop she does. It's really funny
but sleepy. It's like, all right. Like, I thought we were getting away from that kind of thing with the Seth Rollins and the Dean Ambroses and all that. And then now we get you guys.
NXT is just like bigger, like these, they're just really trying to experiment with character. They just sent you a.
I'm watching it. Okay, she doesn't actually fall asleep. I get it. That's not bad. But she's wearing a fucking onesie, Mike.
But during like a tag match, she'll like, you know, Shawn Michaels lying in the corner and she'll lie in the corner on the ropes and sleep. And yeah, she's wearing onesies and it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. It's funny, Becky Lynch was tweeting out how she hopes this is the last competitor in the Elimination Chamber. She's funny. She's funny. But you can't take her seriously, right? But there's this other girl. Here, look.
I like gimmicks to an extent. But, like, you remember the era where it was, like, nothing but stables? Like, every single person had a stable. DOA, the Army Guys, Nation of Domination. I feel like we're right back there.
Daddy, did you see God. That? The ref was so unfair. The incompetence level was just beyond. I couldn't believe it. Hold on, Daddy.
Like, ew.
Eh, don't feel bad. Everyone loses to EO.
Oh, so many freaks here. This girl's in pajamas.
I'm not a freak. I'm just comfortable.
Daddy, did you see that?
The gimmicks are just so cringy. So cringy. Got this rich valley girl now. It's just, ugh.
What are we just spent the whole beginning of this episode defending WWE.
No, I'm not defending. I see dude, I'm not going to defend them. There's some good stuff in there. NXT is not one of them right now for me. I don't know.
Okay, FYI.
Joe Gacy looks like that guy from Big Brother. Did the cop.
Okay, the cop. Okay, hold on. WWE, 1 minute ago. What strategies does the New Day need to use to try and overcome Los Lotharios? And it's Kofi and Big E. So the New Day is intact.
Okay, yeah, I don't know.
We're good. Did you send me something new?
No, I didn't, but I wanted to, if I can find Joe Gacy, I think his name is Joe Gacy.
Wait a second. Is Gabby Ortiz Gabby from the radio show?
No, I don't think so. From Busted Open?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Because she thick, man. I'm all about it.
Where are you seeing Gabby Ortiz? Is she NXT?
I call this photo, please don't trip on live TV. Gabby. I don't know.
No, that's not the girl from... Okay. She looks like Paige. Wow.
She looks like a thick Paige.
Yeah,
she looks... Paige is looking good again.
Yeah, I guess.
She is. I mean, there was this transition where she was... not quite done her process to looking totally fake. And now she's totally fake, but she's hot. Yeah.
I want to find a picture because this guy looks just like the guy from Big Brother.
Which cop from Big Brother? Oh, the guy with the pig nose?
Yeah.
Oh, Derek?
Was it Eric?
Derek.
Derek, yeah. Yeah, here you go. This is, you're going to be like right away, be like, oh yeah, 100%.
I feel like that's a look. Like some people are born with that gene.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day too. Like I had this friend of ours.
Oh my God, it's Derek. Yeah. Oh dude, that is Derek though. That's actually Derek.
Yeah.
Like his eyes and everything.
Yeah. Even has like, it's hard, that bad view, but he even has like a little bit of that pig nose.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Pig nose is a real thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's interesting. Oh man, did you see Brian Kendrick, right? He went over to AEW and then got fired before he debuted.
Yeah.
Oh man. And I remember there was the best tweet that I saw there was Sandman. Not Sandman, Sabu. Sabu was like, shit, I'm hearing all these things about Brian Kendrick and, you know, being fired and all this stuff. Like, what the fuck did he do? Like, what could he have done? And then somebody like posted a screenshot of one of the things he said. And then Sabu's reply was like, oh shit. And it's like, if Sabu is saying that, like, you know, it's bad, right?
Yeah. Brian Kendrick said some crazy stuff. Yeah. And it wasn't even offensive stuff. It was just crazy.
No,
it was
just crazy. Yeah. That's it. It's like,
reptilians? What?
Yeah. It's the reptilian thing where like people are eating children and sucking their blood. And like,
he said some bad stuff about the Jews too. So,
yeah. But yeah.
I mean, he's nuts. And it was recent stuff too.
The weird thing is, he's like, you know, I'm sorry I said these things. These are not my views. It's like, well, whose are they?
It's like, you said it last week, dude.
You said them many times. And like, you know, the era we live in, like, look at Joe Rogan. I just read that he's being taken off of the panel now for UFC.
Oh, so, I don't think he is.
Well, they're doing it in a way that's kind of like, oh, he has conflicting schedule and is no longer available.
Maybe.
That's not true. That's just the way of them taking him off until things cool down.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? So
Joe Rogan stuff is crazy, though. That's crazy stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And he's such a powerful voice, too, because so many listeners, right? So he has to be careful. It's crazy the time we live in, right? Because, like, I understand that it's centering him to a degree. But yeah, you can't defend a lot of the stuff he's saying and, you know, whatever, you know. Anyways.
It is what it is, eh?
It is what it is, man. Just don't say anything these days.
Shut up. Never talk because the internet will always find it. I mean, like if I ever, we're screwed. Yeah, me more than you. But if I ever hit it big for any reason, I will be canceled immediately.
I saw an interview with Velveteen Dream recently where he kind of touches on like, him losing his career and stuff and how like, you know, the allegations with him were proven to be false and how the WWE were trying to like wait till things cooled down. And they even thought of bringing him in with a mask so people wouldn't have to see his face anymore. And like, I don't know, but he talks about how like literally like it's this following, not this following, this movement. Right. And it's caused a lot of people to lose their careers. Now, I mean, like, he's playing the victim here. Some people will play the victim if they've done really bad things, like Joey Ryan, right? Like, guy's gone off the face of the earth, right? He's gone. And probably rightly so. Do you hear about some of the things that he may have done? I don't know.
Yeah, he'll never be back.
He'll never be back, right? Yeah. And he tried. And he's like, okay, well, now I'm going to therapy. And he really tried to do, you know, his whole rebuilding of his character and putting himself through all that. You know, and then you have people like Marty Scurll.
He'll be still back.
Will he
be back.
Where's
and
he gonna
honestly,
go?
Honestly, like
Tony Khan would be a hypocrite to sign him.
You know what? Maybe, but he didn't even do anything that was illegal. He didn't do anything. He didn't.
By law in UK or wherever he was. But okay. If you're saying you're with like a 14-year-old girl and she says, well, in UK, it's okay to do with a 14-year-old girl.
She was 16 and she was in a bar.
I know, but unless she looked like she was 20.
And he was probably like, well, I bet you she did. She was in a bar.
Maybe.
And what was he, like 20-something years old? I mean, come on, man. Let's be honest, right? Once you hit 18, did you stop? Like, when how does it work? You're 18, you're both 17, you turn 18, you're like, can't do it.
No, that is, I don't think, come on.
Well, that's you know what? Des, if you strike it rich, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in 10 years?
No, I know. And yeah, maybe he will resurface.
He'll resurface. You know, he'll
be back. And Velveteen Dream as well, too. Like, I remember we talked about Roseanne and how I was angry at Roseanne for making me miss out on new Roseanne because it was so good. When she came back and the show rebooted and it's fucking hilarious and she just couldn't keep her mouth shut and she blew it for herself and she blew it for all of us who like the show. And I feel like I'm mad at Velveteen Dream for the same thing. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, fuck the Velveteen Dream. Fuck you, Mike, for saying you liked him. I did like the Velveteen Dream. I'm not saying I like the man who he was. Mm-hmm. I thought that character could have been so over and there could have been so much magic there. But he blew it and he was an idiot.
He blew something.
Yeah. Well, he deserves, if all the accusations are true, he deserves to lose his career. But I'm mad because I thought that could have been a really cool character to have in the WWE. Just watching the way that he was over his entrances, like there was something really unique. And especially at this era where things are so progressive and I guess inclusive.
Fluid.
I think he would have been such a great character for this. So it's unfortunate, but yeah, I don't think he can ever come back from this. So yeah. Imagine that though. Like you're on the track to being like a multi-millionaire wrestler. And then you're that's it. You're done. Now what's he going to do? What's he going to do now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
that's tough.
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. It's fucked up shit. It's a weird world. And I don't know what's right and what's wrong or what. I don't know what line is. I don't know how to set standards. I mean, who sets standards? Who could set standards, really?
I don't know, man. I have no idea. But I know we didn't get together for the Royal Rumble, but we got to try to do something, at least for WrestleMania.
When is WrestleMania? April?
April 1st or 2nd. WrestleMania 38 is on April 3rd.
Oh, I got no plans.
We could try, yeah.
It's far away. And I'm a little bit more stable these days.
That's all good. I mean, yeah. We'll see where we're at, but you know, it would be cool to get together to some extent. But there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. We do have Elimination Chamber on the horizon as well.
Yeah.
So we'll be definitely doing our predictions heading into that one. I guess next week, and then we have the road to WrestleMania. I think we'll start shaping out, fleshing out. We'll know who that last TBA is in the Elimination Chamber, and good chance they'll be going on to face Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Will it be Bliss? Will it be Asuka? Will it be Bayley? We'll have to wait and find out.
I think you're crazy, man. I don't know how you could think that a TBA is going to come in and beat Ripley and Bianca Belair, man.
The only thing I could see is like Bianca getting her rematch from SummerSlam.
That's it. That's honestly, book it now.
But she's had rematches before and she's had chances before. So why is it more special now, right?
Because it's WrestleMania. I mean, really.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But guys, thanks for tuning in. Another episode of Talk Mania in the Books. It's always good to be back here with my buddy J-Bomb. So we'll be back next week, guys. Make sure you give us a follow at _TalkMania and 5-star subscribe and be a Talkmania.
On behalf of Talkmania, J-Bomb is out. Dez, say bye.
I'll be Rusev. Yeah, Mashka.
Ooh.